Hello, welcome to Roots Runners Rhizomes, Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
This show is dedicated to exploring healing and wellness from a liberatory perspective, critiquing top-down systems and institutions.
Instead, we look up and around from below and alongside the way roots and rhizomes grow.
Our show has not been evaluated by the FDA or any official licensing body, and our intention is not to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease on the air.
By providing discussion, critique, and information from a lot of different viewpoints, we hope you'll feel more empowered, informed, and resourced as you explore your own options for self-care and working with different practitioners and providers in your community, which we have a lot of really great ones here in Hudson.
Yes, we do. So for today's show, we thought we would talk about some of the health challenges and opportunities that come with autumn and the change of seasons. Just even in this day alone here in Hudson, it started out sunny and warm, and now it's raining and cooling off. And lately we've had our first frost this week, right?
So lots of people are getting their first colds and tickles and fatigues.
So let's maybe, Lauren, let's talk about some common health challenges and health opportunities that come up, and then maybe we'll unpack some of them in a variety of ways. What comes up for you this time of year? Anything special?
Well, so I think of it in terms of kind of like physically and emotionally, because even those two things influence one another, they feel differently in my body. So physically, I get the like tickle in the throat, feeling kind of tired, feeling like I'm about to come down with something, whether or not I actually do. So just a little run downy, not quite getting a cold or a flu, but maybe like on my way there. And kind of on the like spiritual or emotional or just like internal side, I tend to feel like it's almost like it's a new year. It's like so beautiful. And but there's a real sense of like, I need to let some stuff go. I've kind of come out of the like high of like peak summer where I have like all this abundant energy and stuff going on into the like, oh, we're going to be getting into winter. I need to slow down, more rest. And so autumn tends to feel a little like bountiful and an opportunity, but also a little hectic. Like there's a lot of pressure to like finish everything up, get everything done before the winter sets in. So I can tend to be a little emotionally whirlwindy. How about for you?
Well, I was going to ask too. And with people that come to you for consultations, people that come to you seeking out herbal medicines for both specific issues they may have or just general wellness, what kinds of things are they talking about this time of year?
Lots of colds and flus. Definitely immune support. Again, that kind of like feeling a little run down, feeling a little bit of their immunity being taxed or weakened. Lots of people are looking for things like elderberry syrup and fire cider, things to kind of help with the maintenance of a healthy and supportive immune system, but also those kind of like first signs, the tickles, the little slight sore throat, stuffy nose, that who knows if it's allergies or a cold kind of thing.
And could be. There are fall allergies, that's for sure. Well, I personally love fall. It's my favorite season if I have a favorite. And I think this also kind of illustrates something we're going to be talking about today, which is that there aren't just seasons on our planet, right? That sentient beings have different constitutions and different responses to the environment. And, you know, a lot of people kind of love the summer, and then I hear a lot of people, my clients, talk about feeling a little sad when fall comes along, and I, you know, that's cool if that's how someone feels. I also, though, sometimes, you know, when you hear other people repeat that, maybe you start to repeat it yourself, and I always try to unpack, you know, am I just taking this on from society, or is that true for me? And you know, for many years growing up, I, like many people, maybe chafe a bit at factory model school, and you know, so fall was really anxious for me growing up, right? Because I was like, oh, school, you know, dread. But you know, now that I'm now that I don't have to go to school anymore if I don't want to. I love the energy of fall, although I do often buy a new notebook, I notice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Which is kind of so also, you know, I think for a lot of people, self-care first of all is also like how am I feeling and how could I shift, you know, perception management. I think people have been talking about perception management a lot in the news lately with sort of politics. But, you know, perception management for self-care is also a really useful thing. Like, oh yeah, fall could be depressing, right? It's cold and rainy. Or fall could be productive. Fall could be
right.
crisp in the air and delicious apples, you know. So there's a lot of that right. going on. So for myself, physically, I feel awesome most of the time in the fall. But you know, there is less light, so I know folks, especially who are prone to seasonal affective disorder, might mm-hmm. have, mm-hmm. you know, issues with depression and anxiety. Right. That's something that comes up for a lot of folks. And then, again, if we think about different constitutions, some of us are real fiery and we're warm all the time, but it's getting colder out, so some people might be interested in how do they warm up, how mm-hmm. do they conserve their inner fire or add to their inner fire. So right. there's lots of strategies for that too, right?
Yep, yep.
So you want to talk about maybe first colds and flus, some strategies for working with colds and flus. What are your favorites?
Well, I think starting off with, you know, getting proper rest and eating really good foods, and you know, managing the stressors in our lives, all of that kind of daily maintenance is really great. I mean, we can think about like allopathically treating a cold or a flu, like take this thing to destroy this thing that's inhabiting your body. But while I think that that is necessary and true sometimes, or mm-hmm. that's one way that people might want to approach things, and that's totally fine, that's a choice, I also think that it's really important to just kind of take care of yourselves every day in the foods you eat and the rest you get and the joyful experiences you have, maybe with yourself or your community or your friends or your loved ones or lovers. And also, you know, yeah, just managing the stress of your daily life, your errands you have to run, your work that you do, the things that make you happy, just kind of managing all that, paying attention to all of that. I mean, summer can be like super, everyone's just like running around and getting so much done. There's like 14 hours of daylight, go, go, go. But in the fall, like that's a real transition, and our bodies are adjusting to that and our minds and our hearts are adjusting to that. So just like taking inventory of what our own internal reserves are and then giving ourselves what we need where we may be lacking. So, you know, all of that good food and rest and joy is just as much of an immune support in my mind as our elderberry syrup and fire cider.
yeah. Oh, and also just for folks who do find it useful, the allopathic approach. Sleep, now that's something I want to unpack a little bit, because a lot of folks look at rest and sleep as just, you know, oh, I know I should, you know,
right.
It's kind of this passive thing that's vaguely good for me, but maybe I don't, you know. One definite sort of allopathic Western medicine way to look at sleep is it's sort of our rest and repair motion. So actually your physical body is doing a lot of things it can't do when you're wide awake.
Right, absolutely.
Some things that I know, and there's many other things too, but in particular regarding immunity, there are certain kinds of white blood cells, phagocytes, which are, in the Western model, would seek out pathogens like a virus and gobble it up, catabolize it, recycle it, compost it. You only make, there's some of them that you only actually make when you're asleep, mm-hmm. in deep layers of sleep too, not deep levels of sleep. So, you know, getting rest is actually work in a different way for your body. If you want to look at it that way too, you're stepping out of the way to let your body kind of do what it does for you all the time. So, just want to give an extra shout out for rest.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's a hard one. It's
a
hard one
for a lot of folks. Yeah,
absolutely. What else was I just thinking? I think too, like kind of understanding that like herbs and foods and diet and like whatever kind of self-care things people do for themselves, that's all like prepping your body and facilitating your body's own ability to do the work that it's going to do to heal you when you get sick. So, you know, it's like including sleep, you know. So yeah. We want to just support ourselves so that our bodies can do the miracle work that it already does when we get ill. So regardless if we then take over-the-counter medications or antibiotics or herbs or anything else, first and foremost, we need our bodies to be in good shape to deal with what we might face.
Yeah.
So what about you? What do you think is some of your favorite kind of fall season medicinals?
For general wellness, without thinking, oh, do I have a cold or a flu? I start eating more hot and spicy things. Physically hotter things like soups that I wouldn't. I'm a real hothead, so I don't. In the summer, I really struggle to cool myself down. So in the fall, I start having soup with lots of like ginger, cayenne, garlic, oniony kinds of things.
Yeah, the pungents.
Real nourishing, mineral-rich foods. Well, I'm kind of always all about that, but definitely, definitely in the fall. I find it hard also to be hydrated in the fall because, you know, in the summer when you're hot and you want to cool off, you might drink more water. But I really struggle to do that. So I try to have more soup, definitely. Sauces and things like that. Colds and flus. That's an interesting one. You know, aside from, because a lot of people do, you know, I'm a massage therapist, so I work very closely with people all day long. And it's interesting to me to observe, you know, just in general, not just in my clients, but in the general population, people have really different ideas, right, about disease and disease transmission. And like some people are real paranoid about, you know, oh, that person had a cold, you know, I better like wash my hands right away. Or, you know, and other people kind of don't ever think about that stuff. I will say, you know, because as a licensed healthcare professional, I definitely am aware of general disease prevention methods that, you know, so washing. But so if you do find yourself getting sick more often than not, this is one also non sort of, you know, you don't have to ingest anything or think too hard about anything. Just washing your hands more often and washing surfaces. You know, if someone in your family is not feeling well, it's maybe a good idea to wash things down. I personally like to use herbal and essential oil, antimicrobials like thyme oil or oregano oil, lavender, geranium, those kinds of things.
That's great. Yeah.
And I forgot what I was going to say. I got distracted. Sorry.
No, it's great.
So, Lauren, you started to talk about some herbs for colds and flus.
Well, and what you were just saying makes me think, you know, colds and flus show up in different people in different bodies in different ways.
Right.
So we don't all get the same cold or flu.
Right.
Like it shows up very differently.
Right.
So I tend to be like a very cold person. And so I always want to warm up and I want to like, you know, build up my body's temperature so it can help fight off, like almost like heat myself up so that my internal body temperature can basically create an unfit environment for a virus to thrive. And that's kind of like what herbs also help to facilitate to do. They make your internal environment an unhappy place for a cold or flu virus to thrive.
Right. Which is what your body also does when it you have a fever.
Exactly.
Your body's cooking you to cook that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So you can eat it, right?
Yeah. Right. So I personally love something called fire cider, which is something that I make, which y'all can make at home. It's organic apple cider vinegar, and I chop up a bunch of raw garlic and cayenne pepper, horseradish, and ginger. And I pack those things in a mason jar, and I cover it with apple cider vinegar, and I cap it, and then I shake it like once a day, and I let it sit for at least 2 weeks, and then I strain it, and then I take about, depending on how I'm feeling, I'll take anywhere from like a tablespoon once a day to, and I'll take it a little bit in water and drink that down. My roommate takes it in a little shot glass each morning, which is awesome. But I'll also take that like a couple times a day or throw it in a soup that I'm eating or throw it in a mug of hot water like a tea and put some honey in it. It just helps, you know, it helps build up my internal heat reserves and helps like ward off that any kind of thing that's coming in and creeping in and taking over. I really feel like it helps support my immunity, builds that up, kicks anything else out. And then I keep really hydrated so that my like blood and lymph and everything is moving to flush out whatever waste products like all my white blood cells are, you know, creating because they're working on getting rid of this virus in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you take hot baths? Do you put herbs in hot baths?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
I know. I'm so bad with taking hot baths. I just sometimes don't want to get cold afterwards.
I don't like to wash my bathtub. That's usually the biggest obstacle. My cat's like sitting in there. I'm like, it's okay. You can have a bathtub.
No, but you're right.
But that's also a really, like when you feel chilled, you know, I find a hot bath really kind of feels like it warms you to the marrow. And, you know, I have met people living with cancer who swear by, there's a practice that some folks use is they take a super hot bath as hot as you can stand it. And evidently it does sort of, encourage certain kinds of white blood cells and other immune cells in the body to form under pressure. I don't know, like diamonds something. I don't know how it works exactly, but you know, for general immunity, I think it's a, as they say, an old wives' tale. That's a phrase that we really need to transform fast, right. Perhaps.
Right.
But what is a thing that's right. been passed down orally through history is sure. that hot baths are generally good for sickness, and I find it to be true in my life.
Do you add any essential oils or herbs to that?
I certainly do. Especially if I'm just going to do a foot soak, I might put a lot of ginger in there. Mm. I don't usually put that in the whole bath. That might be a little too tingly for me sometimes. Let's see, elderflower and linden. If I have a fever and I kind of want to increase the fever but then let it break, I'll put elder and linden in the bath.
That's great.
Lavender's really calming and makes you sweat a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Those are all nice herbs. And then Epsom salts, you know, if you feel kind of swollen and achy and like your lymph is kind of starting to congest, that encourages lymphatic drainage and makes you feel really great fast.
Do you want to just give our folks a little quick guide on why lymphatic drainage is important? Especially during cold and flu season? Because what is lymph doing?
Well, lymph is magic. Okay, mm-hmm. So lymph is part of your circulatory system, right? In a way, we have a lot of fluid in our body, and sometimes that fluid is in the form of blood, which is in your arteries and veins. But
and
then
capillaries.
And then other times there's fluid in the rest of your tissues that needs to kind of get cleaned up and recycled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And excreted. Waste products get excreted. The lymph nodes are really awesome too. Those are like processing centers in your lymph system. So your lymph system, right, it's vessels, kind of like veins and arteries and capillaries, same size and shape running throughout, but separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the catabolized stuff from waste products being broken down by white blood cells.
Right.
It's got, within the system, those lymph nodes, maybe you've had the doctor or yourself, you feel you have little bumps. We often feel them around the throat.
Sure, they can get tender.
Tender. Sometimes people feel them in the crease of your leg or the backs of your knees. They're located all over. And those are like processing centers where you have these cells that are trapping the pathogens and breaking them down, isolating them so they don't reproduce in the rest of your body.
Right.
What else about the lymphatic system?
No, that's great. I think
that
it's
your
just
favorite
great.
Things. Oh, yeah, so you want to support that because it does such an awesome job.
Yeah. And sometimes even moving, getting some physical motion. My professor at Columbia Green, where I took anatomy and physiology, told me that the moment that she feels like she's coming down with something or feeling run down, not because she's exhausted from work, but like run down, like she might catch a cold or something, she'll go out for a run.
Oh,
so that's to like activate the lymph to move and like be collecting all this waste and passing it through and getting it moving through your body so it's not like getting stuck. And
because like your blood moves through this cardiovascular system in part because your heart is pumping and that's kind of moving things along. But the lymph, you can move, the muscles will pump the lymph, or you can get a massage, my favorite way of moving
Me
lymph.
Too.
Awesome. And you can, and then if you, if you drink water and hydrate, that also moves everything along. And then some people feel that different essential oils applied topically also hasten lymphatic drainage, like grapefruit oil, most of the citruses, the lemon, and what else? Yeah, so there's a lot of strategies. And baths do encourage lymphatic drainage. So you want to, it's just kind of like, well, you could look at it as cleaning the filter.
Sure.
Filtration system or hastening it. But I like to think about supporting your body. It's doing this all the time, 24/7.
Right.
Just let it help it. Right. Help it along.
And we want to avoid, some things to avoid would be, right, like overworking, overstress, sugar. Yeah. Sugar is an immune buster.
Yeah. A lot of people are, you know, saying now there's clinical evidence that sugar feeds, like literally feeds cancer cells, different pathogens. Like they go, wow, treats, just like we do. Yum. But, you know, that's also not to demonize, right? So for some folks, you can find your limit of what feels good for you. But for some folks, it makes a big difference, right?
Oh, yeah, for me, for sure. I mean, I think that's part of the larger just like really taking a look at our bodies and what we're going through, like not just saying, oh, you know, I have a cold or a flu, something's coming in and attacking me and I have to get rid of it. It's like we're a part of everything. Like, let's look at ourselves. Let's see how we're feeling. Like, you know, I know that flus and fevers can be really dangerous for certain immune compromised people, or, you know, it's not something to not take seriously. And if we really can start to like read our bodies more and really tune in and listen, we don't just have to like attack every cold and flu with over the counters or antibiotics. We might have all the tools that we need at home or pretty readily available to us that will help support our body to better move through these things versus disable our bodies from doing its own job of warding off things or fighting off things. So just really, you know, because and everyone kind of runs through a cold or a fever or a flu differently. Like, you know, you might run really hot, so your fevers might look really different for you than mine do, who tends to run cold. And there's different herbs that may help you differently than me.
Right.
And then there's some that are kind of universal for all, like elderflower. I know we both love elderflower so much, elderflower tea.
And what does elderflower do for us? And elderberry, too.
How specific are we allowed to get on there?
That's a good question. Okay, so we'll just talk about, you know, some other things that we take for when we do want to kind of address specific symptoms, right?
Right.
Because sometimes it's nice to get a little relief from, say, you know, you're coughing or you have a drippy nose. Some of my favorite plants to work with, I'd say I love cinnamon and ginger. I love thyme. For especially throat issues myself. Garlic, you can't go wrong with garlic.
Right.
Eyebright is another, and that's
that's
real useful when you're not sure if it's allergies or cold.
Sure,
that kind of
feeling,
good idea. You're just kind of like itchy eyes. And,
Right. Yeah, elderflower again. I really love. I love the ginger and the cinnamons. I make like a chaga mushroom chai with chaga and cinnamon and black peppercorn and orange peel. Ginger, did I say? Yeah, all moving and warming. If I do get a fever, I really like a classification of herbs called diaphoretics. They help like facilitate the fever to heat up my body and get rid of the do its work. And then so I would maybe use like an elderflower and a yarrow and then add peppermint to then cool myself back down when you know, and open my pores up so that I'm like sweating out the fever and having that move through and continue. So yeah, elderflower, yarrow, peppermint. I really like boneset for fevers as well. And just for daily kind of maintenance when I'm not feeling like I'm coming on something, but I want to support myself through this time, I really like astragalus, the chaga mushroom.
So maybe let's talk briefly about some of the other issues that come up for folks in the fall, particularly around like anxiety or depression or maybe time management, all those kinds of things.
Sure. Yeah.
Some good self-care before we get to talk about any herbs. Maybe it's a good time to kind of take stock of what you feel is challenging you and then see what you can plan for to alleviate it this year. One thing a lot of folks tell me they don't enjoy when summer ends, they feel like there's less opportunity to get outside and be active. Mm. So say you want to incorporate physical exercise into your life anyway, you know, even when it's not nice outside, quote unquote nice outside. I'm someone who loves rain. So maybe you want to think about some strategies how you can get exercise year round. Like maybe that's dance or yoga classes, mm-hmm. or borrow some exercise DVDs from the library system. They actually have some awesome stuff. Or get some gear so you can be outside comfortably, waterproof, warm. That's not a bad idea, just in general, to be more comfortable. Sometimes in the winter, I witness folks kind of, oh, it's so cold out. And you know, they're not wearing enough clothes. And I'm like, well, that might have something to do with your discomfort, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, and having a waterproof down parka has changed my life, definitely. I've had it for like 15 years.
Totally.
You go outside and you feel invincible, even when it's snowing. And, mm-hmm. you know, get some good boots.
Long johns.
Real easy. I mean, it seems obvious, but it's not actually, because I seems like I meet a lot of people who don't quite have any gear to feel comfortable. And, you know, then every time you're stepping outside and you're not comfortable, you're setting up a situation in relationship where it's like the weather is hostile to you. But if you're comfortable and then you're outside, you know, think about how you relate to your environment then, right? It's a little different.
Right. Absolutely.
And anxiety and depression, anything to say about that for you? Physical exercise is my main medicine, so that's why I always encourage folks to figure that one out. What else do you like to do, Lauren?
Oh, jeepers. I mean, I feel like I've been going through a lot of that lately, and I just kind of taking myself out of my zone. Mm-hmm. Like I just had this where I was pretty anxious for a couple of weeks, just feeling like I had everything on my plate and it was all happening at once and it all needed to get it done at once. And I took myself out of that environment, out of my home, and I went up to Rhode Island where I had herb school for the weekend, and it was like a whole new universe. I mean, I was rooted in community and study of herbs, and that felt really good. And all of a sudden I got to see like how I was getting in my own way, and started to think about like what was important and what needed to get done, and like what actually wasn't important. Sometimes when I'm in the thick of it, nothing's quite clear. So literally removing myself from the situation.
Changing perspective, kind of? Yeah.
Changing location and changing perspective and changing my clothes, getting rid of my pajamas, all of that. I also really like to make a really strong cup of tea. Like I've been drinking oat tea, holy basil and elderflower and thyme tea. Just kind of immune supportive and grounding. So that I really like, and like creating a ritual out of that, like getting up and making myself a big batch of tea and drinking that over the course of the day. So just kind of setting myself up and
nice.
Yeah.
Are we out of time?
I think we are out of time.
Okay. Well,
too bad.
Thanks for joining us today. That's all the time we have. Our next show will air, as always, the third Monday of the month at 3 p.m. That's November 19th. And we're planning some shows for the future. One request we've gotten is sexual health. Another topic is a report back from the O Positive Festival. Those are a couple of the themes we'll be taking. But as always, we'd love to hear from you about what you'd like to see covered on the show. So you can email us at rootsrunnersrhizomes@gmail.com or find us on Facebook. Anything else to add, Lauren?
I'm just trying to cue up a little something to go in between. But no, I think that's it.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll see you in November.
Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. A girl has found another and gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom.